Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. Now, the e-scooter ban on footpaths is still making news, with the Land Transport Authority saying today that vendors who modify electric scooters into personal mobility aids will be taken to task. Personal mobility aids include wheelchairs, motorized wheelchairs, and mobility scooters, which are not affected by the ban.
Well, the LTA's statement comes in the wake of online advertisements from vendors offering a way out for e-scooter users affected by the ban. Well, transport journalist for the Straits Times, Toh Ting Wei, is back in the studio. But that's good to see you again, Ting Wei. How are these e-scooters being modified? I mean, tell us more. And why are they considered unsafe?
So in terms of the modification, what they have done is, yes, basically take out the wheel behind and then expand it to change it to become two wheels. So it becomes something like a tricycle, but on an e-scooter.
Take out the wheel from behind? And
yeah, so because e-scooter, usually you have one wheel in front and one wheel behind.
Right.
So they took out the wheel behind, and then after that, they modify the structure a little such that it becomes, they add one additional wheel to make it in a way like it's similar to a tricycle.
So I'm trying to picture it.
Yeah, correct.
And these are considered unsafe. Why though?
Yeah, so personal mobility is actually like what you all mentioned just now, things like motorized wheelchairs and stuff. So it's meant for maybe people like the elderly who can't really move around. So it's not really, you just take an e-scooter, put one more wheel on it, and it becomes a mobility. So there's a speed limit of 10 km per hour. So that's what the vendors who have made these modifications claim to have adjusted the e-scooter speed to also to.
Yeah.
LTA has said it's unsafe because it compromises the mechanical electrical system of the e-scooter. So what we are looking at is like maybe like, let's say, in terms of the how they rewire the things to accommodate the wheel, it could become like something like, if not done well, maybe it could pose a fire risk, or if not done well, when the rider is using it, maybe it won't work as well, it will break or something like that. So
let's figure out why these are a alternative.
Well, compared to e-scooters, of course, there are less stringent regulations governing the use of personal mobility aids. So besides being allowed on footpaths, what are the other main differences, Tingwei?
So looking at it on paper now, doing a side-by-side comparison, there's plenty of advantages. So in terms of e-scooters, because we all know over the past year, we have seen a lot more regulations coming up because a lot of safety issues, fires, accidents and stuff. So now with e-scooters, like you need to inspect it from April next year. You need to register it with LTA.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, you need to have it have the UL2272 safety certification. You have to have it under a weight limit of 20 kg. It can't be wider than 70 cm, if I recall correctly. So all these things are things you need to look out for when buying an e-scooter. But with a personal mobility aid, there's no weight limit. For example, you don't need to register it, and you don't need to send it for inspection. The only downside is that the 10 km per hour, the speed cap. So, but other than that, there's not so much downsides to it.
Right. So it's been more than a week since the footpath ban was enforced. We've seen that the hardest hit are food delivery riders, Ting Wei. What have you observed since then? Are they still trying to reach out to their MPs? Have they accepted their fate? Are pretty much resigned now?
So I think in the past week, there have been quite a lot of reports, no matter which media you went to, about food delivery riders turning out in numbers at Meet the People sessions.
Yep.
So I think last week it started with around 30 of them going to find Minister Shanmugam. And then after that, some of them tried Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong's ward. And then after that, the numbers just kept increasing across various Meet the People sessions until this Tuesday, which just passed, when about 300 went to Senior Minister of State of Transport Lam Pin Min's ward for his Meet the People session. And that one was especially significant because Dr. Lam was the one who announced the e-scooter ban, so that was of particular interest to the food delivery riders. So at that time, there was a high point, but I think from that meeting, what I heard was that many riders were very disappointed because they said they didn't really like get their concerns addressed. There were no new solutions. So I think some of them left the meeting earlier. Others came out rather angry. So I think since Tuesday, based on my observations of the various chat groups that they are in, it seems like their mood have been dampened. They have come to the conclusion that going to the Meet the People sessions won't really help them. So based on what I've heard from the riders so far, it seems like they have kind of like decided that they will just continue working during these timings and trying to earn as much as they can while this goes on. Because they still have an advisory period and
before it's fully enforced and fines will be meted out, etc.
I'm just curious, Ting Wei. So what has the food delivery riders' response been to the $7 million trade-in grant? I mean, that sounds pretty attractive to some people.
When I first heard of it, I thought it was quite a good offer that will help to address their concerns. But I think in the past few days since, there have been some people who are relieved by it, because for them it's like having something is better than nothing. Like, they don't have their e-scooter, but at least now they can get some money to go and buy a e-bike, and they don't have to fork out so much out of their own pocket. So there's this group of people who are happy with it, and there's other people who are still quite unhappy with it. That's why we still see people going to meet the people sessions. So for them, they feel like the e-scooter is still the best mode of transport. And it's so in a various, like, in various ways, because if you look at the e-scooter, like, it's used on footpaths. It was used on footpaths last time before the ban. So for e-bike, you have to use it on the road.
On the roads, yeah.
And for, let's say, if you want to talk about bicycle, you have to cycle it manually, and that's quite tiring. Some people say they have leg injuries and stuff. And imagine carrying a bag of food behind you and cycling for the whole day. I don't think that's only probably for people who are very fit. So there are still people who want to keep their e-scooter. So rather than taking this, like, $1,000 to buy a e-bike or $600 to buy a bicycle, they would rather keep their e-scooters.
So do you think it's a matter of habits, and just to switch the, you know, as to say that people are used to using their PMDs.
E-scooters are also banned from the roads.
Yeah, correct. So partly it might be a matter of habit. But because, like, for them, some of them have requested to have e-scooters allowed on the road instead. Because I think at this point of time, it's a vehicle that they are used to. Because if you have used a e-scooter before, it's something that's very easy. You don't really have to, like, let's say for a bike, you still have to learn how to balance and stuff. For e-scooter, you just press the throttle and off you go, and it's really quite convenient.
No, I can relate. I only learned to ride bicycle when I was 20. Embarrassing. I'm not sure if I could now anyway. Ting Wei, thanks for joining us today. To Ting Wei is from the Straits Times. He's a transport journalist. With regard to this $7 million trade-in grant, so you reported earlier this week that under this scheme, though, some 7,000 riders from the three food delivery firms, Deliveroo, Foodpanda and GrabFood, of course, can begin to trade in their e-scooters from tomorrow till the end of the year. That's December 31st. Most say they'll switch to the electric bicycle. Are there enough electric bicycles, 7,000?
To be fair, I guess not all of them will switch to e-bikes, but many of them have indicated interest. From what I heard from the retailers, no, they are not enough. One retailer estimates there's probably about 300 to 400 e-bikes in stock in total in Singapore. I checked about 6 retailers. All of them seem to have shortage of e-bikes, because before this, e-bikes weren't in demand. Between e-bikes and e-scooters, people rather choose e-scooters because it's cheaper, like lighter, more convenient, faster. So they have been stocking out on e-scooters, but they haven't been stocking out e-bikes. And if you look at what Grab has announced, they have published a list of retailers that they have worked with for preferential rates. So I think there's about 5 retailers that they have worked with, and inside the list, there aren't any e-bike retailers. So I think, judging from this, there seems to be a shortage.
So do you think that it's a matter of afraid of getting burnt again? I mean, when the footpath ban came into effect, they were left with the unsellable stocks of e-scooters. So it's understandable that they don't want to be caught in the same scenario again with e-bikes in this case, if another ban is implemented.
That's definitely one of the considerations. I was at a meeting between Grab and some food delivery riders this morning, and there were, like, for the riders themselves, they are a bit concerned about getting e-bikes also, because they are worried that, let's say, if any accident happened in the next 2-3 months, a ban might come about again. Because that's the mood on the ground. But on the other hand, for the manufacturer side, other than the previous lack of demand for the e-bikes, there's also the issue of the timing. Because now it's November, and then for all these e-bikes, they are either made in China or some of their parts are made in China. So at this point in time, it's approaching Christmas season in Europe and US. So there's quite a lot of orders from these two areas, especially. So for the retailers here, they are saying that it's hard to get the factories to manufacture extra e-bikes for them, because they're already at full capacity.
Earlier we talked about how the e-bikes are only allowed on the roads. The e-scooters now banned from footpaths. So rider safety obviously comes to mind. What's been the reaction to that, Ting Wei?
So for the rider safety, I think most of them have been a bit concerned, because I mean, like, to ask them to ride on a footpath and to ask them to cycle on the road, it's quite a different thing. I think, like, for me, I only cycle on the road a couple of times, and it wasn't like a very crowded road, but both times I was a bit nervous because you have to keep to the side of the road and stuff. So for them, I mean, they'll be walking the roads. They'll be walking for maybe like 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day at least. And when they are tired, I don't envy the prospect of them having to cycle on the road, worrying about cars on their ride. It's quite a different thing, because on footpaths or on cycling paths, they are kind of like the fastest group, so they don't have to, so much they don't have to worry about themselves, but they just look out for other people. But when you shift them onto the roads, they suddenly become the slowest group of people. They are the most vulnerable group. So it's a lot more personal responsibility on them, and even if they are safe themselves, there's still a possibility of an accident happening.
That's a good point. I mean, we're all getting confused. I mean, anyway, numerous types of mobility devices, e-scooters, bicycles, power-assisted bicycles, personal mobility aids, even hoverboards as well. Are you finding that
a powered unicycle. Okay. There's another one.
So are you thinking that the public is kind of unclear and confused about what is and what isn't allowed on footpaths, cycling paths and roads? Because I was just talking to Harvey before he came on air that we still see some of the delivery colleagues going through on footpaths over the past few days. Yeah,
I don't see feet pedaling.
Yeah, true. In terms of what you all have seen about delivery riders continue to ride on footpaths, I don't think it's a matter of them not knowing the new rules, like for those people using
e-scooters. They're banking on the grace period, are they?
Yeah, they are banking on the grace period. They just want to continue with their jobs. They have definitely heard about it. But for maybe people like the layman who don't use such devices, I agree it's a bit confusing. Because if you look at PMDs, it's a Singapore term. Like, they don't call it PMDs
in other parts of the world.
So they just call it e-scooters, but we group e-scooters, unicycles, hoverboards under PMDs, and then we have e-bikes, and we have different things. So to break down the various laws is a bit lengthy, but you can find it online on LTA's website. But I guess there's a bit of confusion in terms of how they are grouped, but not amongst the food delivery riders. So for them, for those you see on the roads now, on the footpaths now, it's more of them just wanting to carry on doing their job.
What do you think the future holds for PMDs in Singapore, or what we know as PMDs?
So I think from January next year, when the authorities step out on enforcement, it will be... there's not much of a future, because if you look at it, it's only 440 km of cycling paths for them to use. And even by 2030, when it's tripled, it's around 1,200 km. But you compare it to the current length of footpaths that they have access to, 5,500, it's still a fraction. So the devices are very useful, but user behavior hasn't been great and infrastructure isn't ready for it. So I think in the next 5 to 10 years, not so much of a future.
Personally, I can't say that I'm very sad. Transport journalist for the Straits Times, Toh Ting Wei, thank you so much for joining us today.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.